Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm talking with Lynn Cowell, and I'm holding in my hand your devotional called His Revolutionary Love, Jesus' Radical Pursuit of You. And I love the little cutouts. What prompted you to write this little devotional?
Well, I am a mother of three teenagers, and two of them are girls who are 16 and 14. And I saw how they compared themselves to other girls, and that comparison comes from a lack of confidence. And so His Revolutionary Love creates confidence in a girl, which leads to a higher self-esteem when they discover Christ's life-altering love for them.
That's a fantastic reason to do anything as teenage girls. Why do you suppose girls seem to naturally compare themselves with other girls and then judge who they are or define themselves by their friends? Why do they do that?
Well, all of us are created needy, and it's okay to be needy. The key is being able to communicate to a girl that God created her to be needy so that she would go to Him to have that need for approval, affection, and affirmation filled by Him.
Now, one of the latest trends that has, you know, come to my attention is this faking it on Facebook that they're something, you know, that they're not. How can I protect my child from that? And why does the phenomena happen in the first place?
Well, a couple of months ago, I was walking past my daughter's computer screen, and there was a picture of a girl there that I didn't recognize. And so I said, you know, who is that? And she gave me the girl's name, and it's a girl that she plays softball with every weekend on her travel softball team, and I didn't even recognize her. She had used so many techniques to edit her picture and, in her opinion, take out all her flaws that I didn't even recognize who she was. And so they'll do that. They'll edit their pictures. They'll exaggerate their statuses and the things that they're doing on the weekend in order to appear, you know, busy. And it's that pull to be popular that draws them in.
And is it a dangerous thing to do?
I believe it's dangerous because when a girl does something like that in order to be part of a popular crowd, in order to be part of something, she has to give up something. Mm. And in this case, it might be giving up her faith. It might be giving up her purity. It might be giving up those unique parts of her personality that God created inside of her.
Wow. So parents should monitor their child's Facebook page, or do you think it should? The parent should have a discussion before the child's even allowed to participate in Facebook.
Well, in order to be able to speak into your child's life, you really have to have that really strong relationship. And that's another reason why I wrote His Revolutionary Love. It's because it's a conversation starter. And so I really encourage moms to go through this book with their daughters because it'll bring up natural conversation. And those kinds of things will happen through conversation instead of confrontation. Mm-hmm. And to help them, because I know that can be intimidating, I started mentoring high school girls when my kids were 10, 8, and 6. So I had no idea what I was doing. So to help moms like me, I created a small group guide that's free on my website at lynncowell.com. There's a tab called Freebies, and you can get the free small group guide, and it'll give questions that'll be natural conversation starters for you and your daughter.
What would be an example of one of those conversation starters?
For instance, you might ask your girl, girl. Some girls, there's a real pull in a lot of girls to have a boyfriend because they think if a boy doesn't like me, there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
And so one of those conversation starters might be, why do you want a boyfriend? What's the pull there? Mm-hmm. Instead of being confrontational and saying,
you
I don't
have a boyfriend until you're 16.
Exactly. More begin to ask questions. What is it about that? Why does that appeal to you? And it'll also help you to be able to hear her heart.
Yes, I love that. Go to lynncowell.com. That's LynnCowell.com. And there's a little freebie tab there with some conversation starters. I think it's so much better to do prevention rather than intervention. And I love that little phrase you said, but it's kind of slipped my brain. So if we come back to it, where you said something about it's better to have a conversation than to be confrontational. I like that. Now, some things never seem to change. I remember when I was a teenager, I certainly wanted to be popular and have lots of friends and that kind of thing. How does the desire for popularity impact a young woman's spirituality?
Well, as I said earlier, you have to give up something in order to have something. So spiritually, you know, within their circle of kids at school, if they're in public school or even if they're in homeschool situations, whatever their situation is, it's not always the popular thing to have a passionate relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage girls that if you have one or two close friends that are close to your heart that you can trust and that you know have the same values and are heading in the same direction as you, that is the way to go, is to truly have one or two close friends rather than trying to be a part of a big popularity group.
Yes, I wish I had that advice with my daughters, because there was this feeling that they could evangelize their friends. Mm. And looking back, now they're grown and successful, but they went through some hard knocks because that friendship evangelism at that age is a very difficult thing to do. It usually ends up being the other way.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does.
The worldly child or the secular child has more influence on the spiritual child, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, often girls struggle with having or not having a boyfriend. Really, what do you have a particular age that you think a girl is ready to reach out and start having boyfriends, a particular boy that is a friend? Is there a certain age or a certain, you know, can a parent say, okay, we see signs now that you're ready to handle this?
Well, I really think dating is a heart issue. And by monitoring the confidence level of your daughter, I think you can tell when she's mature and when she's not mature. In my home, it was when you're 16. Well, there's plenty of 16-year-olds that are not mature enough to date because they're still looking to another person to fill that love gap in their heart. So I think the real key is when is your daughter's confidence and when is her self-esteem based on the fact that Jesus is crazy about her.
Yes.
And until she gets that, she really isn't ready for a relationship outside.
Yes. A girl is not ready to date until she realizes Jesus is crazy about her. And one of the best ways that can happen is when fathers and mothers are crazy about their daughters.
That
really
definitely helps.
That's the stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at his revolutionary love, Jesus' radical pursuit of you. What in your own personal experience, you have two daughters now that are in the teenage years. What has been one of the biggest personal challenges with them?
Oh, I think the other day my husband looked at me and he said, Lynn, you want the girls at 16 and 14 to be where you are at 44. And I just so want them to know that Jesus is wild about them, because I know when they grasp that truth, that will fill the love gap in their hearts. And then they will not look to boys. They will not look to success. They won't look to all of the other things in life that that the life has to offer. I keep telling them those are icings on the cake. Mm-hmm. Jesus says he will give us the desires of our heart, but they are icing on the cake after you discover that Jesus is the cake. He's the substance, and the other things in life are the icing.
So you have, I'm imagining that different personality types react differently too. And no family seems to have the same personality type in every child. So let's say you have a child that's quite A-type personality, quite determined, very self-willed. How do you handle that self-willed child?
I wish I had a corner on that. My first one is a boy, and he was quite self-willed. And so, you know, I don't really feel like I have the expertise to speak to that, but I do know that getting to know each child differently and how they perceive hearing you and learning from you can help you to speak the language that they need to hear from you.
Yes, that's a great, those are great words of advice. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm wondering, Lynn, if you would read just a little section of your devotion here, His Revolutionary Love. We'll be right back.
Drinking alcoholic beverages is a real problem in our society. Alcoholism is drinking alcohol excessively without the willpower to stop. Alcoholism is actually considered a disease and can be treated if the person diagnosed is willing to stop. Peer pressure is one of the biggest reasons people start drinking. Peer pressure is when your peers pressure you into saying and doing things because they think it will make them popular or cool. Drinking alcohol also contributes to many health issues such as brain damage, liver disease, and cancer. Plus much more. Although drinking may seem fun at first, remember, it can destroy your life.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's www.hva-edu.com.
My name is Jesse, and I just wanted to talk about what bothers me the most. The one thing that stands out in my mind the most is when I'm walking down the hallway on my way to class or my locker, and someone says, "Hey, shorty," or "Hey, little freshman." Sometimes this one junior says, "Little freshman," and then pats me on the top of the head, and almost always messes up my hair. I know I'm short, but why does everyone have to point it out? I like the way I am. Don't try to change yourself because of other people. You rock the way you are.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's www.hva-edu.com.
In Africa, a whisper, a breath, a truth. A child does not ask, "What will I have for dinner?" The question is, "Will I eat?" A child does not ask, "When will I be better?" The question is, "Will I die?" A child does not ask, "When will my parents come home?" A child knows, they will never return. Every day, 385 children become orphans. 300 die of HIV/AIDS.
To make a donation, go to www.restorea-child.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Okay, we're back with Lynn Cowell and her book, His Revolutionary Love, and we've been talking about helping young people, and girls in particular, realize that Jesus Christ is crazy about them, and they don't need to fill that desire for love with those infatuations that are often so tempting for children at that age. And I've asked Lynn if she would read a passage from her book. Give us a little taste of it.
One of my favorite parts is found on page 85, and it says, "When our need to feel loved and valued is not filled by Jesus, that need becomes a force of destruction in our lives. Satan knows what buttons to push to send us looking in the wrong places for our hearts to be filled. And this need may show up in our lives in strange ways, masks for real problems of an empty heart."
That, I think that it doesn't matter how old we are, we can struggle with that. Now, you have little cutouts, or I love the way the book's spelled out or designed. What do you call those different types of fonts and in little, you know, in little designs? What are those called?
Vignettes.
Vignettes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to present writing, because nowadays we like little tidbits of information here and there. In this one little one, it says, "My diary, March 26, age 17. At my voice lesson after school with Miss B, I started crying. I'm afraid of the all-state competition on Saturday. I'm so scared. I don't want to fail. I need the Lord to teach me to sing for Him." Is this from a personal experience, or is this as you have gone through your journey, people confide in you? How do you come up with these little nuggets here?
They're a combination. This particular one is from my diary when I was in high school. So some of them are from mine. And then I have mentored 10 years girls. And so a lot of them are from other girls as I've taught them about how crazy Jesus is about them. I've written down what they have shared with me, and so it's filled with nuggets from other girls.
Now, when you mentor, how does someone become a mentor? Was it a job at a girl's home?
No, I had a neighbor girl ask me if I would mentor her. She was a sophomore in high school, and I can only say it was a God thing. Why else would a high schooler ask a woman in her early 30s to start hanging out with them? But once I started spending time with her, she started inviting some other friends from school. And I had a group of about six girls that went to the public high school in our neighborhood. And I would just start sharing with them. And we would go through different Bible studies. And then at one point, I couldn't find what I wanted to teach them. And so we had gone to the Christian bookstore and sat on the floor and look through all the books, and I was so frustrated because it wasn't there. And so I said, well, I'll start writing them and I'll email them to you. So they would get them, answer all the questions, and bring it with them to group. And so that's how I wrote His Revolutionary Love.
Well, I'm so glad I asked that question, because it's fascinating to me. Over and over again, I hear how God takes someone, and someone had told me the other day, if you don't get paid for it, then that's the sign that God is leading you. Well, that doesn't quite pay the rent, but or the mortgage, but it does seem like God leads us in ways that we never mm-hmm. expected to go.
Mm-hmm.
When you were this age, when you were the age of these young girls that we're talking about, what did you expect God to do for you? Where did you expect to be?
I wanted to be a preacher's wife. I just knew that I was going to, grow up and marry a preacher. And now I am a public speaker, and I feel like I became the preacher, which is just bizarre to me. I wanted to be a preacher's wife, but I didn't really picture myself as being the vessel he would speak to through. I thought I would be more the supporting role. So it's been really, really exciting to be used by him that way.
Yeah. So you also, not only have you written this, but you are also available for speaking engagements,
mm-hmm.
and they can find that out on your website, lynncowell.com.
Mm-hmm. I do conferences all over America.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I have a few more questions, and then our show is winding close to an end. I have noticed in my experience that girls are becoming more mean and more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some tools that really Christ-centered girl can use to navigate some of that meanness that comes at them?
Well, Rose, I have discovered lately that I believe that mean girls come from mean mamas. recently, my daughters and I were standing in line to get into a concert, and it was very hot, and we were just observing all of the girls walking by, and I noticed I was saying things like, I can't believe she's comfortable dressing that way, and why would her mother let her out the door like that? And my 16-year-old looked over at me, and she said, Mom, you're judging just about every girl that walks by. And I thought, she's right. And so I've kind of come to the conclusion that our daughters watch us. They hear how we speak about other women. They hear us compare ourselves to other women. And whether they say it or not, they are constantly picking up the way that we are behaving. So if we're a mean mama, we're going to produce some mean daughters. So I think that one of the ways that we've handled that in our family is I have a pact with my girls that if I hear them gossiping about another girl or saying something that is unkind, I just basically say her name and look at her, and she's like, I know. But she can do the same back to me. And if you know that your daughter's going to correct you, your mouth will start changing really fast, and eventually I think our minds will too.
So it starts with me making sure that I'm not a mean mother creating a mean girl,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of mean girls out there.
Mm-hmm.
So your daughters, I don't know if they go to public or private school, doesn't seem to matter. You're going to run into someone who's mean to you. How do you handle that?
Well, again, the thing that I've, my younger daughter has dealt with this a lot more than my older daughter. My older daughter is 5'11", and they just don't really mess with her. But my other daughter is only 5'3", and she has had more problems with this. And the thing that I have shared with her is your confidence or lack of confidence is written all over you.
Mm-hmm.
They can see it in your eyes. They can see it in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you saturate yourself with the truth of how Jesus sees you, Psalms 45:11 says that the king is enthralled by your beauty. And there is something about a confident girl,
mm-hmm.
that a mean girl is going to leave her alone. And it's
yes.
not what she says. It's not what she does. It's that spirit of the living God that is all over her presence that will leave her alone. And so, again, it's don't even bother dealing with the mean girl. Just pour your girl in with the truth of who Jesus says she is, and watch that confidence come inside her spirit.
What a wonderful way to conclude our show, because let's face it, we all face mean people at some point,
mm-hmm.
and we're all persecuted at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But if we fill ourselves with the spirit of the living God,
mm-hmm.
we can walk on water. Praise God. Thank you
That's
so
right.
much. We've been
Thank
talking
you.
To Lynn Cowell. Her website again is lynncowell, that's lynncowell.com. And her wonderful little devotion called His Revolutionary Love, Jesus' Radical Pursuit of You. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.